We are holding on Nunhei Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says Chamisha Chum Shinhei, and there are five cases where you have to add a chodesh. Elohim. Number one, Ha'ichol Truma or Trumas Meister or Trumas Meister called Mai Vachalav Avikorim. All those are under the same category because all those are sort of various forms of Truma. So Truma, the original Truma, where the actual 2% or whatever that you give from the payers. Trumas Meister, the 1/10 that the Levi gives out of what he gets. Trumas Meister shall Dmai is the same thing. When you buy Dmai from an Amaret, then you have to give Meister Mesophic. Truma Gdola you don't, because we know that the Amaret are careful about that. But they're not careful about Meister Rishon, therefore they're not careful about Trumas Meister either, so you have to separate that out.
Careful about Mai, not Meister Rishon.
They're careful about Truma Gdola, they're not careful about Meister Rishon or any of the other Meisters.
Why is that?
Because Truma Gdola they knew is Bemitha. They knew that if you eat Tevel, if you eat total Tevel, where nothing has been taken out of it, then you're Chayiv Mitzah. So therefore they were careful with that. But Meister Rishon and Meister Sheni, some Amia Oretz were careless with. And once Trumas Meister being part of Meister Rishon, then therefore they didn't take that out.
It's not really because they're Amei Aretz, it's because they're just lazy.
Well, no, it's because they're Amei Aretz and they don't know the dinim.
They know enough that you're Mitzvah.
They know enough that you have Mitzvah for Tevel. Yeah. Okay, no. We learned about this at the end of Sota. And Chala and Bikurim, all those are in the same category. So all of those, if you eat them B'Shogeg, you have to add a Chodesh. That's case number one of Chodesh.
It's all shogig.
All shogig. Number two, Apoda Neter Avai, your Maisa Sheni Shalem Oisiv Chomish. Number two is if you redeem your own Neter Avai, the produce of yours that grew in the fourth year, the first 3 years is Arla, the fourth year is Neter Avai. And we might actually discuss this in Brachas, whether it applies only to vineyards, in which case it would be Kerem Avai, or whether it applies more generally to all fruit trees. Anyway, it has basically the same dinim as Maisa Sheni, as far as that you have to eat a patara, and therefore the same rules apply. If you're going to be kodeh, you have to add a chomish, or Maisa Sheni, shaloi, or both of those are yours, because it's somebody else's, you don't have to add a chomish. That's number two. Number three, apodeh sekdeshe motzev chomish. If you redeem something that you yourself donated to Hekdesh, then again, like we said, the last couple of days, you have to add a chomish. Number four, hanena shava prutim in a Hekdesh motzev chomish. If you have at least the prutah's benefit from Hekdesh, again, b'shogig, then you become chayiv in a korban me'ilah, and you also have to repay Hekdesh the value of what you use plus a fifth. And number five, v'agozos chaveda shava prutah v'nishbaloi. If somebody steals at least the prutah's worth from somebody else and then swears falsely on it, motzev chomish, then when he does tshuva, he has to pay back the amount he stole plus a chomish, as we learned in Baba Kama. So those are the five chomishim.
By the way, b'mezid mi'ilah. Is there a court? You bring a korban for mezid?
No, mi'ilah b'mezid. If I remember correctly, chayv mitzvah b'deshamayim.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the ones you bring a korban for mezid? Shiv charufa.
Shiv charufa is one, and also shavuos the edus, and I think also and shavuos bituri. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Oh. The Gemara says, "Omer Roman, kashin le'lo b'loz." Our Mishnah, Rabbi Lozer, the Amorah, Rabbi Lozer ben Fudas, he says, had a problem with our Mishnah. One of the ones we had in our list of Truma and things similar to Truma was, we said, Truma Smeiser shall Dmai. So again, you separated out the Truma Smeiser from Dmai, where remember, Dmai itself is only a suffix, because most Damei artists do take proper Meiser, so it's only a meal that don't. And we're saying that if you were to eat that Trumas Meiser b'shogeg, you would have to repay the koyin, the keren, plus a fifth. You pay him with payers. That's the question. The question is, also chachamim chizuk v'divrayim k'shel Torah, do we say that the chachamim strengthen their takana as much as the Torah? This idea that we're saying that just like when you eat real truma or real trumas meister b'shogeg, you would have to add a chomish to the chachamim. We go so far as to say the same thing as far as d'mai, where d'mai itself is only midrabanan. Now, before we get to the answer, many rishonim deal with the question: what's the problem? Yes, we find in many places that the chachamim made a chizuk to their takanas, that they strengthen their takanas. They put an extra thing on them. What's so strange about it over here? So Tosfos, a number of them give different answers. Tosfos over here says that the part is sure, you can say Chachamim make a chizuk l'divrayim, sometimes even more than Mishel Torah. That's, for example, where you need to do it in order to make a siyag l'Torah, in order to make a fence around the Torah. Here, we wouldn't have even thought to make him have to pay a chomish if it weren't for the fact that it's a zeres hakasu. Why are the Chachamim making him pay a chomish? What are they accomplishing by that? Or not what are they accomplishing, but why would they do that? It's sort of a siyag and a siyag. The Torah itself saying a chomish is sort of a siyag. Why the Chachamim? Why do the Chachamim find the need to apply that to dinim d'rabbanan as well?
Are we saying that there's no other example of siyag on it?
No, we're asking. Yeah. Well, that's what we're asking. Do we find that Chachamim make their takanas as that they go so far with their takanas as to impose something like this?
Yeah.
There are other we'll give the answer in a second, but I'll tell you, there's other Rishonim will give different other explanations of the Gemara's question. One of them is that we said Dmai is only Masafik anyway, so why are we making such a strong thing on it? The Or Sameach has a very interesting take on it. He says the vort is like this. We learned yesterday that when you eat Truma B'Shogeg and you're repaying the Kohen, you repay him according to the value of Truma. Truma is cheaper than Cholim because the only Kohenim can eat it, etc. Whereas Dmai is not necessarily as cheap. Truma's Maaseh of Dmai is not necessarily as cheap as regular Truma in the sense that, for example, because it's only a Sopik, the din is you're allowed to give Dmai before you even separate out Truma's and Maaseh from it, you're allowed to give it to Anim to eat, for example. Therefore, if we're saying that you have to pay a chomish when it comes to Trumas Maaser Shel Dmai, it comes out effectively you're paying more than you would have if it was Vade Truma. Because Dmai has a higher value.
Question.
That's the question.
That's the question they're even stricter.
Yeah. Amr of Nachman, Amr Shmuel, yes. Homani Rameir, yes, you should know our Mishnah is like Rameir. Dama also Chachamim Chizik Ludivrayim Kashel Torah. Yes, Rameir says exactly that. The Chachamim do make their Takanas as strong as the din d'oraisa. Zetanya, as we learn in a braisa, hamevi get mizinah fiyam. We learned back in Gittin the whole concept of having to say b'fonin nechta b'fonin nechta. If you brought a get from mizinah fiyam, whereas we learned over there the both the dinim aren't as expert in the dinim of Gittin, or you don't have edim able to come and verify and verify the identity of the people in the get or whatever. So you're supposed to be able to declare when you bring such a get, when a shliach brings such a get, he has to declare b'fonin nichtav b'fonin nechtam, that it was written and it was signed in my presence.
So you have to do it from Midin Siyam, but you don't have to do it if you're in the Eretz Yisrael.
If you're within Eretz Yisrael,
so that's showing that there is...
No. Wait.
Okay.
This whole concept of having to say b'fonin nichtav b'fonin nechtam is only d'rabban.
Right, yeah.
Now, what happens when the shliach gives the get to the woman and does not declare b'fonin nechtav b'fonin nechtam? Rameir says her new husband, if she remarried after getting this get, her new husband will have to divorce her, and any children that they had will be considered mamzerim. In other words, Rameir says the get was b'chlal not chal, which goes to show that you say that the Chachamim strengthen their takana as much as the original din d'oraisa. Even though, so that's the thing. One second. We'll get back to that with what Ursa Meach says in a second. But at least on the basic level, what we're saying is mid-d'oraisa, they would be divorced. What we're saying, in a case where it was a get that was possible d'oraisa, any children from her second marriage would be mamzerim. We're saying, according to the mayor, we go so far as to say the same thing when it comes to a din d'rabbanan, this concept of b'fanenechtem. And again, the Or Sameach points out, based on his shitta from before, that here we actually have this child, this one who Reb Meir is saying is a mamzer, is actually worse off than a regular mamzer. A regular mamzer, we learned in Kedushin, has the ability to marry a shifcha, and then later on he'll be able to free the children and they'll be considered regular Jews. Here, since this guy is only a mamzer midrabanan, he doesn't have the ability to marry a shifcha, because only a mamzer midaraisa could do that. Therefore, we see, in a way, that he's worse off. Which is the same thing as we say that you're making the guy pay more for the chomish of Dmai than you would for the chomish of regular Truma. He would have to marry, exactly. Where the Chachamim say that no, the child in that case is not going to be a mamzer. Ketzad yase, what do you do in order to fix up the situation? It's true, you do need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. All you need is yitlanu mimeno, let the shliach take the get back from her, v'yachse v'yitlanu mifnei shnayim, then give it back to her in the presence of two edim, v'yemelo b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, and at that point, you make the declaration b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Tosfos says this ketzad yase, there's a couple of possibilities, what it means. First of all, Tosfos says the Chachamim will agree that the second husband has to divorce her. Unless you're able to do that. So therefore, Tosfos explains, in other words, what the Chachamim are saying is, number one,
if you're able to come with two agents.
That's the thing. So if you're able to do this, if you're able to get it back from her, if the get still exists, and you're able to get it back from her and give it to her, etc., then fine, he won't have to divorce her. According to the Chachamim, the kids are not mamzerim. The kids are not mamzerim because the whole thing was only a takana de rabbanan. That's the thing. According to the Chachamim, the Tosfos says, if you're not able to do this, if the get, for example, no longer exists, or you don't have edim or whatever, sure, the Chachamim are going to agree that he's going to have to divorce her. They just will say that the children won't be mamzer.
They will be.
They won't be, according to the Chachamim.
Right.
According to the Meir, they will be. Anyway, the point is that we see. So that's the question. What are you telling me? What is Reb Meir saying? Just because he didn't say these four words, therefore her new husband is going to have to divorce her, and therefore the child from her marriage is going to be the mamzer. And that's the answer. And yes, Reb Meir l'taime. Yes, Reb Meir goes according to his own shita. Reb Meir used to say the following general rule: anyone who does differently than the formula which the Chachamim said as far as gittin, the proper formulas of how a get is supposed to be written and delivered. So yes, Reb Meir should hold
that to the reform people.
No. So Reb Meir holds that. Okay. Their kedushin are no good either, according to the Baptist
Rabbi.
Exactly. According to Moshe Feinstein and most other poskim achronim. We've talked about this before. Reb Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was a noted exception, but most other poskim hold that they're no. What? No, Chas v'Shalom. He was machmir. He held that civil marriages, for example, and or reform marriages or what have you, are considered marriages la'alacha, and therefore they need a get. And therefore they need a get. Reb Moshe Feinstein and most other poskim achronim held differently. Okay. Onward. The point is that Reb Meir says that yes, in the case of get, we're saying that with Yotzi Vavlad Mamzer, if you don't do exactly what the Chachamim said, Yotzi Vavlad Mamzer, by the same logic, yes, Reb Meir would say in our Mishnah, if you eat Trumas Maitre Shul D'mai B'Shogig, you will have to pay the Chomish. That the Gemara is going to talk about later before the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about is that necessarily an equation. We'll get back to that. But for the time being, the Gemara is assuming that's similar. Most of Reb Sheshes. Hey, Reb Sheshes says, I have a question on this concept. You're telling me then that Reb Meir is machmir. This that we're saying, that Reb Meir is machmir in dinim d'rabbanon, to make them at least equal to the din d'araisa, we find a case that not. Namely, another case involving Maiser Sheni of Dmai, Machalan Oisoi, you can redeem Maiser Sheni of Dmai the same way as you redeem regular Maiser Sheni. However, you have you're able to kesef al kesef, you're able to exchange silver coins for silver coins, nechoshes al nechoshes, or you're allowed to exchange copper coins for copper coins, or kesef al nechoshes or nechoshes al aperis, or you redeemed the Maiser Sheni originally for silver coins, you can now convert those to copper coins. Or you can take the copper coins and convert them to peiros, the yiftei a peiros, and then you will re-redeem those peiros because you're supposed to bring the actual money to your shalayim. Divrei Reb Meir, so says Reb Meir. V'chamim yal peiros v'yachol be yishalayim. Whereas the Chachamim say you don't have to do that. So this is how Rashi learns that Reb Meir is saying you must, even if you end up exchanging Maiser Sheni fruit for money, and then exchanging that money for other fruit, you're going to have to re-redeem that on coins and bring those coins to your shalayim. You can't bring that second fruit to your shalayim because the whole point is you're supposed to be bringing money to your shalayim. That's how Rashi explains that's what Reb Meir means. Whereas the Chachamim say Yalo Peiros V'Yachol B'Yerushalayim, that you don't have to do that. If you redeem Maiser Sheni of Dmai on coins, then you use that coin to buy other fruits, which with Ma'aser Sheni of Vada, you wouldn't be able to do that outside of your Shalayim. But with Ma'aser Sheni of Zmai, we're Mekel.
Because
Ma'aser is a kind of the Rabbanon, right? So you're able to exchange it for other fruit, and the Chachamim would say, fine, you don't now have to take that fruit and exchange it for money. You can bring up that second fruit itself and eat it in your Shalayim. Fine. Now, the question is, now, so to continue, Rashi explains that this whole thing from Masiv Rav Sheshet is all one long question, which is going to go until the top of Nimzayin, until the top of Nimzav Amud Aleph. And we'll see soon that Tosfos learns it differently. But the first according to Rashi. So the question is, you're telling me then, we're saying that Rav Meir is saying that you can be mechalal kesef al mechoshes, but having transferred the kedusha of this ma'aser sheni of dmai onto silver, you're now able to retransfer that onto copper coins. The question is, how do we see that? Why is Rav Meir being mekel to be able to do that? Vatnan, we doch learn in a mishnah in ma'aser sheni that when you're talking about vadai ma'aser sheni, here we're not talking about dmai anymore. Here we're talking about vadai. If you have a sella, a silver coin of Ma'aser Sheni that got mixed up with a similar coin of Chulin, you want to be able to use the Chulin coin without having to bring it to your Shalayim. What do you do? Now, Rashi explains, based on the continuation of the Gemara, you can't just say that, fine, out of these two coins, one of them is Ma'aser Sheni, so I'm going to take one of them. If this one is the one that was originally Ma'aser Sheni, then good, I'll use it for Ma'aser Sheni. And if not, then I'm being mechalal the other one on this one. You're not able to do that because you're not able to be mechalal silver on other silver. Because they're both silver coins. Why should you be able to transfer the kedusha of one onto another? So how can you do it?
Why not?
Because there's no purpose in it. There's no lav derech chilul, Rashi says on Nunvav Amud Aleph. It's not the normal way of chilul, of being mechalal ma'aser sheni, is you're taking fruit and converting it into coins. Or you're taking, we're going to see in a second, you're taking, for example, silver into copper, midoichas, as we'll say in a second. I know, because it's an emergency situation, because you have no other choice, therefore fine. But to transfer silver onto silver, that you can't do.
Or copper to silver.
Copper to silver you can, but wait. The point is, you're not supposed to do silver to copper, but the silver to copper at least will be matu you when it's midoichet, when you have no other choice. But silver to silver, we're not even going to be matu that, because there's no purpose in it. Once you have a silver coin, what's the purpose of converting it to another silver coin?
Why did they even discuss that? It seems obvious.
Yeah, well,
why does it seem obvious?
So therefore, so what do you do? Okay.
What's so obvious?
Yeah.
Who would go from silver to silver?
You might. I don't know. You transfer it onto one silver coin. You might think, whatever. Okay. So what do you do? Maybe the seller most. What you should do is take some coins, copper coins, it actually says, the value of a seller. So however many kruthas or whatever copper coins it is that takes to equal up a seller. But oimer, and you say, kol makom sheyeshna seller shel ma'aser sheni, whichever of these two coins or however many coins it is the original ma'aser sheni coin. It should be mechulal. It should be the kedusha should be transferred from it onto these copper coins. Then you take out of the two silver coins, you take the nicer one, the one that's better quality. And you mechalal those copper coins on it, and then that one becomes ma'aser sheni. So in other words, you started off with two coins. One was ma'aser sheni. One was chulin. You don't know which one was which. What you do is temporarily you transfer the kedusha from whichever one it was onto the copper coin. Now, to get it back to silver, you want to transfer it back onto silver so that you have the silver coin like you did originally. It should be the nicer of the two because that may have been the original ma'aser sheni one.
And if it's not valid?
No, not that's the one you're supposed to do because you're supposed
silver,
to
copper, silver.
Silver, copper. Now, why do you have to do this whole rigmarole? Rashi says, why don't you just say you exchange one silver coin for another? Because the Chachamim told us, you're allowed to be mechal silver onto copper because of doichik, because you're in an emergency situation. Loisha yikayim kain, and it's not that you should do that in order to keep it like that, because Rashi says the bizoyan for ma'aser, that it should be the kedusha that should be transferred onto copper coins. from silver to copper, that you should be going down like that. Besides, Rashi says also, practically speaking, copper coins corrode. They corrode, rust, whatever you want to call it. Silver tarnishes. It's not the same thing.
It is the same process.
It's the same chemical process. Fine, but silver tarnishing is still usable as a silver coin. Copper corroding, then it becomes no longer usable. So therefore, you have to go and re-redeem the copper coins back onto silver. Now, therefore, so what do we see? Rav Sheshes continues this question. Now, the bottom line is, the Braisa is telling us, the Mishnah rather is telling us, that you can be mechalel copper onto silver, midoichek, implying midoichek ain shalom midoichek loy. You can only do that in a case like this where there's doichek, where otherwise you're stuck. You're not going to be able you're going to end up having to spend both silver coins as maizer sheni. Whereas in the original Mishnah from Dmai that we quoted, where we have the machlokes of Meir and the Chachamim, he said that when it comes to maizer sheni as Dmai, you are l'chatchila able to be mechalel kesef al mechoshes. So therefore you see that a mayor is makel when it comes to a din derabanan zmai, as opposed to the din deraita. So what are you telling me? Your mayor says also chacham chizuk v'divrayim kishal torah in the case of ma'aser sheni of zmai trumas ma'aser zmai in our mishnah, and in the case of get, where we see that by ma'aser sheni of zmai he's makel.
Sometimes he's not married. Sometimes
we'd have to have some rule about it. What reason would there be making to make that distinction?
Right.
Which we'll see in a second. Maybe there is, but anyway. Okay. Tosfos has a bit of a discussion over here about the meaning of the sugya, which actually. So first of all, Tosfos says as far as the first part where Rashi explained that in the first Mishnah, Rav Meir is being machmir and saying you have to re-redeem the second peiros for kesef and take that to your shalayim, and the Chachamim are meikel and saying that you can take the original peiros. Tosfos says it may be the other way around, actually, that Rav Meir is the one who's makel. He's saying that if you want, you could re-redeem them. And the Chachamim are saying, no, you must take those actual peiros to Yerushalayim. That's first of all. Second of all, Tosfos says it's not one long question from Masiv Rav Sheshes until Shalom Yudeichak Loi, these whole 10 lines or whatever, like Rashi said, it's not one long question of Rav Sheshes. Rather, it's two separate things that we see from the first Braisa that Rav Meir is being makel when it comes to Maisa Sheni of Dmai. The fact that Rav Meir is saying you're allowed to be poured to these payers, and the Chachamim are saying you're not. So we see he's makel. And then number two, we have a question of umim chalin and kesef on the choshes. That's question number two, where we see that bechlal, how are you allowed to transfer from silver onto copper when we're saying that by ma'aser sheni avada you would not be allowed to. So according to Tosfos, Rav Sheshes is asking two different questions, from both of which it comes out that Rav Meir is makel when it comes to ma'aser sheni of mine. It's not one long question, like Rashi says, but rather two different questions.
What difference
does it make? It's just how do we understand the Gemara, that's all. And also, how do we understand Rav Meir's versus the Chachamim's opinion in the first Mishnah? Yes, as a matter of fact, Rav Meir would make a distinction. Rav Meir would say that we're makel when it comes to redeeming Ma'aser Sheni. Therefore, yes, we will allow certain liberties with Ma'aser Sheni of Dmai that we wouldn't with Ma'aser Sheni of Vadai when it comes to redeeming it, that you're going to be allowed to use, you're going to be allowed to transfer from silver onto copper, or for that matter, from coins onto fruit, which you wouldn't be able to with Vadai. But he's machmir when it comes to eating it. Our Mishnah is talking about when you ate it, where you haven't to pay keren mechomish. When it comes to eating ma'aser sheni, when it comes to dinim that involve eating ma'aser sheni or eating anything, or actually in our Mishnah it was trumas ma'aser or whatever, anything involving eating, Rav Meir is going to be more machmir. And that's where he's saying when it comes to achila is the kind of thing where we're going to say that the Chachamim make a chizuk l'divrei and the Chachamim are going to strengthen their takanas and make them at least equal to the din d'oraisa.
Where he is makel?
Not by pidyon, but we're saying by everything else. Yeah.
Right.
The Tanya, and where do we see that a mayor makes a distinction between, says that you're machmir by eating? The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, lo hitiru limko d'mai ela l'siten bilvad. The Chachamim only allowed you to sell d'mai without if a yid who keeps the dinim of Trumas and Meisters properly, not an Amaretz, in other words, if he buys d'mai from an Amaretz, normally he has to take off Trumas and Meisters before he himself eats it, but also before he sells it. The only way where the Chachamim allow you to resell it still as d'mai without taking off the Truma and Meiser, Elul a Sita in Bilvad, is only if the Chaver is a Sita and is a wholesaler. Namely, Rashi says, the reason is, a Sita and buys from many different Amaya Oretz. So therefore, when people buy from a Sita, they know that it's expected that you're going to have to take off they're going to have to take off Meiser, because they know the Sittern has many different vendors who sell to him, some of whom are Amei Aretz. They don't necessarily expect that the Sittern himself has taken off Truma and Meiser before he gives it to them, before he resells it to them. Therefore, in that case, we allow a Chaver who is a Sittern, who is a wholesaler, we allow him to sell it without taking off Meiser.
Why don't we extend that Takana to somebody whom we know they're going to take it?
I don't understand what takana.
This takana that we cannot do it to a sita.
That's the thing. Normally, if a talmid chacham buys fruit from an amei aretz and then he wants to resell it, he has to take off trumas and maizros first. However, if he's a sita, we don't require him to.
And if he wants to, the talmid chacham wants to sell it to another talmid chacham, we would, by implication, but force him to take it off also?
Yes, we would expect the first Talmid Chacham to take it off before he sells it to the next one.
Why?
Because otherwise, the second Talmid Chacham is going to think that that the first one already took it off, and he's
going
to end up eating tevel.
They
may ask each other, but not necessarily.
Oh, that's the established norm.
Normally, the rule is, if you buy Dmai, you're expected to take off Meiser beforehand. A Sittern is an exception. Again, Rashi says the reason is because everybody knows that a Sittern is buying from many Amei Aretz. Other Rishonim explain a different reason, because a Sittern works on very narrow profit margins.
Right.
If you make him take off Meiser, he's going to lose out. Balabayas Bain Kach Tzorech Lahasid, Devir Meir. Whereas the Braita continues, if you a Balabas, not a Sittern, who buys from an Amei Aretz, either way, whether he's going to be selling it wholesale or whether he's going to be selling it retail, but he's not a professional sitter, and he is a balabayev, he may as a one-time thing be selling it wholesale. Either way, tzorech la'aser. Either way, he has to take off meiser again for the same reason, because since he's a chaver, people are not going to realize that he bought it from an amei aretz that he bought from many different amei aretz, and therefore is going to be and therefore that they shouldn't expect that he has to take it off. Divrei Rav Meir. No, echad asitin ve'echad balabayis moicha v'shaleach b'chaveroi v'noisim le'matana. The Chachamim say no. Whether you're a professional sitone or whether you're a balabayas, but this time you're going to be selling as a sitone, you're going to be selling in large quantities wholesale. Either way, you're allowed to buy it. You're allowed to sell it as still as my, or send it to somebody else still as my, or give it to him as a gift. And you don't have anything to worry about, because any time that you're selling in large quantities, b'midagasa, then the Chachamim are saying the buyers have to assume, we're going to expect the buyers to assume that Meiser was not taken off from it yet. The actual amounts, Rashi quotes from the Mishnah in Dmai, that if it's dry goods, then the amount that makes you be considered Midah Gasa is 3 kavim, about 9 pounds. And if it's liquid, then a dinner's worth of them. Either way, if that's the amount you're selling, you're considered Mashpian b'midah gasa. So again, Rav Meir would say only if you're a professional wholesaler, you do this all the time. And the Chachamim say as long as this time you're selling in quantities like that, then it's enough that you're allowed to do it. So we see, therefore, that Rav Meir is being machmir on the matter of eating d'mai. That of eating d'mai. He's not going to allow you to resell it, except in the one case where you're a sita. So therefore, yes, we see that Rav Meir is going to be machmir on such cases, again, even though it's d'mai. And therefore, yes, we have a logical basis to say that a mayor would distinguish between that versus Pidyon Meiser Sheni of Dmai, where he'll be Mekel. Most of Ravina. Ravina says, fine, I have a contradiction to this. That you're able to this that was saying that we're not worried about you're able to if you bought from many Amir Oretz and you're able to sell it as Mai without taking off Meiser, we learn in a Mishnah. Another Mishnah in Dmai. Well, so we have another Mishnah in Dmai says like this. The question rather is like this. The question is, if you're telling me, again, going back to this idea that a mayor is saying when it comes to anything involving Achila, he's going to be Machne. Well, therefore, that would mean any case of Dmai, except for the case of Pidyon Maaser Sheni, we said he's going to be Machne. But I will find you another case where a mayor is saying that we're Mekel when it comes to something of Dmai. Namely, Mishnah says, halakeach min ha-nachtoim, if somebody buys bread from a nachtoim, from a baker, who is an amaret, ma'asim min ha-chamal la-tzinenis, you're allowed to take meiser, remember, the amaret will not necessarily have taken meiser, or chala for that matter, but here we're talking about meiser, you're able to take meiser from, and chala, and everything else, from the hot bread on the cold bread, hot or cold, meaning, in other words, that hot bread is fresh, cold bread is not. Hot bread may have been baked today, cold bread may have been baked yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, as we're going to see in a minute, hot bread is better quality than cold bread, as Gemara is going to say, Or you're also allowed to take meiser from the cold bread and have in mind to be mostly the warm bread. Even if what you bought from this nachtoim is many different shapes, which, if they're many different shapes, the logic is he may have bought them from different people. Different people, as we learned back when we learned in the second parak about kikros shel bal habayis versus kikros shel nachtoim, which one has a siman, which one doesn't. Different bakers or different private people tend to bake their bread in different shapes. Defus literally means a form. So therefore, if you have, in other words, you bought... So you bought from this nachtoim various kinds of loaves of bread. Some of them, let's say, are square. Some of them are round. Some of them are rectangular, etc. They may well have come from different people. Now, among the Amei Oretz, remember, most of the Amei Oretz do take proper maestris. It's only a mute that doesn't. It's a substantial mute, but a mute nonetheless. Like this, if you buy different shapes of bread from the nachtoim, he may have bought the round ones from Reuven, the square ones from Shimon, the rectangular ones from Levi, and Reuven and Shimon maybe do take Meiser and Levi does not. If you're going to be allowed to take divrei Meir, and the Meir says, you're able to do this, you're able to take Meiser from one on behalf of the other. That's the question. So, I can understand the mayor is saying that you're able to take meiser from the cold bread. You're allowed to take out meiser from the cold bread, which was baked yesterday, let's say, and have in mind to be mochi the warm bread, which was baked today. Wow. Fine, that works. Kedir Rabbi Loi. Fine, we can understand that works based on the din that Rabbi Loi said. The Amar Rabbi Loi, minayim l'torah minadraa l'yafa shetrumati trumah. How do we know that minatora, at least, if you took meiser or truma, actually, if you took truma from the poorer quality stuff on behalf of the better quality stuff, how do we know truma, that such a thing is considered valid truma? So you have in other words, today's bread is better quality, yesterday's is worse because it's baked yesterday, it's already starting to go stale. Nevertheless, we see that even when it comes to vadai, the Torah tolerates you taking minadra ala yofa. So that's not the problem we have with the mayor. And before we continue with let's explain how we know that. Shenema, because the pasuk says, well, sisu all of chet barim chemeschel b'vimenu. The pasuk says it's actually talking to Levim, telling them about Trumas Meiser, the part that they give to the Kohenim out of Meiser Rishon. The pasuk says, you will not bear a sin for it when you take off as Truma the best quality stuff for them. Implying, in other words, that implying if you take off the not the best quality stuff, you'll have committed an avera. Now the question is, chelva is the best. Chelva is the best. So im ene kodesh nisias chet lama. Now if taking off the lesser quality stuff is not considered valid truma or trumas meiser anyway, then what's the point? What chet have you accomplished? You haven't really accomplished anything anyway because it's not truma. Ella, That is where we learn that if you do do that, you have committed an aveira because you're supposed to give kochel of Lashem, the best is supposed to be Dashem. Nevertheless, it is valid truma. You accomplished something, however, you've committed an aveira in the course of doing it.
But it's still truma.
But it's still valid truma. So therefore, fine. The fact that a mayor is saying by dmai that you're able to take meiser from the cold bread on the warm bread, fine, no big deal. Even if it was vaday minatoda, at least you would be able to do that. So fine, we're not going to say the chachamim are going to be machmir on you by dmai. Even when it comes to vaday, the chachamim are machmir, but they're not going to be machmir by dmai. Right. The problem is with the part that a mayor says, even if they're different shapes. Now, if we say that a mayor generally is meiko when it comes to dinim de rabbanon, fine, no big deal. Dmai is only a suffix anyway. Therefore, fine, we can be meiko. But if the mayor is saying, as we've been saying the whole time, that he's machmir in dinim de rabbanon just as much as dinim de araisa, well then, leichush dilma osila frushi min achayev ala ptura min achtura lachiyu. Well, don't you have the problem that it may be the guy who made the round, the guys who made the round and the square loaves, let's say, do take off meiser. Their bread is potter from Meisr, because it's already had all the Meisrs taken out from it. The one who makes the rectangular loaves did not. He's one of the Amei Aretz who don't take off. If you're going to say that you're able to take, for example, from the round loaves on behalf of the rectangular loaves, it comes out you're taking from something that's potter on something which is higher, or vice versa. How can you do that? So we have a question. We have a question. We see then that Rameyer is meiko in a case like that. However, Amar Abaya comes in and says like this. Actually, we have to revisit the whole basis on which we have this whole sugya. We were trying to say as a general thing that Rameyer is machmir when it comes to dinim d'rabbanan. Not like you said, like you. Alluded to at the beginning, not necessarily. Maybe Reb Meir himself would distinguish between different cases of dinim d'rabbanan. Namely, Reb Elazar shapik l'kashalei. Reb Elazar started out with a good question that in our Mishnah you're talking about you ate shumas ma'aser shel dmai. Why the chacham making you add a chumash? Ushmuel loy shapik kamashani lei. When Shmuel gave him an answer and said that yes, we find by the case of get that Reb Meir is machmir, that wasn't really a good answer. Because Rabbi Elazar started off with a question involving misibi de shemayim, if you were to have eaten this trumas meiser of my mezid, potentially there's misibi de shemayim involved. If in fact the Amma artist had not taken off trumas meiser, or Mashani le Shmuel, Mrs. Basin, and Shmuel is answering him from a case involving a get, where again, if the get is posel d'araisa, then anybody who has relations with this woman is chayiv Mrs. Basin, and therefore you could say that a mayor is machmir in the parallel case that Rabbanon. Even though it's true, Mufana Nechtem is not going to prevent the get from being valid on a Daraisa level, there's not going to be Mrs. Bastin involved. But because the original Din Daraisa is something of Mrs. Bastin, therefore the mayor will say the Chachamim Machmir in a case like that. Chachamim Chizuk Ludivrayim in a case like that. Not necessarily in a case of Mrs. Bastin. So the question was a good question. The answer wasn't a very good answer, says Abaya. Dilma shiny misses face in the chamira. Maybe you could slug up Shmuel's answer. You could say yes when it comes to a case where Mederaisa would be misses face in the chamma going to be machmir in the parallel case to Rabbana. But something where even the case Mederaisa, namely Trumas Meister of Dmai, if it was Trumas Meister of Vaday, there'd only be maximum misibidei shemayim, which is less serious than misses face in. Maybe the mayor would not say that you're machmir in the parallel case to Rabbana. And furthermore, when Rav Sheshes brought up the question from the case of being Mechalo Meiser Sheni, that also wasn't really a good question. Because after all, both Rav Elazar and Shmuel are talking about cases involving Misa B'dei Shemayim or Misa Beis Din. Rav Sheshes is bringing up a point where the maximum thing is only Malkus. Now, again, if it was Vaday, the maximum penalty for eating Maiser Sheni that was not properly redeemed is Malkus.
So you cannot compare Malkus.
Yes, you can, yeah. or most of Rav Sheshet's lav. Rav Sheshet is asking from a case which is only a lav. Because the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni in your gates, meaning in your cities outside your shalayim, without proper pidyon. So again, if it was vaday, the maximum thing would be a lav. Again, maybe we said Rameyer was makel over there. Fine, he's makel. Okay, you know, you don't have to say what we said before. That he's makel on pidyon and machmir on everything else. He's makel on a case that involves a lav. He's machmir in a case that involves Mrs. Basin, and we don't know where he stands on Mrs. B'nai Shemayim.
Very nice.
However, he continues, Ulamayd Moisir Rav Sheshes, Rav Yosef Shapa Komashanile. However, if you take Rav Sheshes's view, that you would say when the mayor is machmir, you would say he's machmir across the board, even when it's only a lav. Fine. According within that svara, Rav Yosef is giving him a good answer that you could say that he's makel on pidyon and machmir.
Rav Sheshes comes after Abaya.
Rav Sheshes comes before Abaya. He's a generation before.
Oh, Rav Yosef's generation. Abaya is commenting and summarizing
the entire discussion that we had. That who seems to have a good point and who doesn't. So fine, Rav Sheshes's point maybe isn't well founded, but given that he asked the question, Rav Yosef gave him a good answer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now let's continue analyzing this and analyzing the sugya and see whether we can make it fit. El Ravina. So now we have to ask a question on Ravina. When Ravina brought up the Mishnah in Dmai about buying from a baker, about buying from a Nachtoim, and asking why is your mayor Makel in that case? Why is Ravina Bechlal asking where you see a case where a mayor is being makel in buying from a baker? Better he should say, you know what? I have a proof that there is a case where a mayor is machmir in a case that involves buying from a palter. A palter is a wholesale baker. He's the equivalent of a sitton when it comes to grain or fruit or whatever.
The question is,
in other words, that Ravina brought up a Mishnah from Dmai where we saw that Rameya was makel when it came to taking maaser challah, whatever, from bread, that you're able to do from one shape on another, even though they may have been baked by different people. Instead of that, Ravina should have pointed out, you know what, on the contrary, though, we have a different Mishnah, also in Dmai, the next Mishnah, in fact, which says that Rameya, which shows that Rameya is machmir in a case of a baker, in the case of a palter. Namely, we learn in the next Mishnah in Dmai, halakeach min apalter. If somebody buys from a palter, who again is a wholesaler, is a bread wholesaler, he buys from many different people and sells them. Ma'asim in kol tefus u'tefus divrei Rameyer. And there, Rameyer says you do have to take ma'aser separately from each shape of bread, because we have to assume the different shapes were baked by different people. So therefore. So l'chora you have a stira. Why in the case of a nachtoim, a retail baker, is your mayor saying that you can mix up the different kinds of loaves and take ma'aser from one on the other, whereas with a palter he says not. El amay is l'chomemer. So what do you have to say? The distinction must be palter mitzrei tlosa gavri zabin. You must say the difference is like this: a palter, by definition, buys from many different people. He may buy from two or three different people, and one of those people may have taken ma'aser and the other one may have not. Well, in that case, the answer is, why is Rav Meir not concerned about the case of a Nachtoim? Because a Nachtoim, since he's not a wholesaler, he doesn't buy that much together. You may have, yes, he has different shapes of bread. He buys from one supplier. I have different shapes. Big deal. One supplier may well make his bread in different shapes sometimes. So not necessarily. When the mayor is saying in the first Mishnah that we quoted, you're able to take ma'aser from the square loaves on the round ones or whatever, not because he's saying, okay, some of them may be chayev, some of them may be potter, but I'm not worried about that. No, because we assume if they're in a nachtoim, a nachtoim gets it from one source, and therefore it's probably all chayev or all potter, and therefore there's nothing to worry about.
And why is there different shapes?
Why is there different shapes? Okay, sometimes a person has. He bakes some loaves of bread round and some of them square and whatever. Yeah. So therefore, the bottom line is, Abaya says, therefore, when you ask the question before, why is your mayor makel in the case of a nachtoim, the answer is he's not really makel. All he's saying is, a nachtoim, given that he only buys from one person at a time anyway, then therefore there's no reason to be concerned. Either we can assume all the bread is chayev or all of it is potter. There's no reason to assume some is chayev, some is potter. Where there is a concern that some of it is chayev and some is potter, namely by a potter, he is indeed nachmer.
And we need these two cases
to make that distinction, yeah, to make that distinction, that there's a difference between a nachtoim and a potter. As a matter of fact, actually, there are some mafarshim who explain that the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is in the Mishnah over there. The machlokas between them may actually turn on the question: how many people does a nachtoim typically buy from versus how many does a palter typically buy from? One way of looking at it is the way our Gemara is saying: a nachtoim usually buys from one supplier, a palter buys from many different suppliers. Or you could look at it differently, that a nachtoim is more likely to have a bunch of small suppliers who supply to him, whereas a palter, because he buys in bulk, he has one person who supplies him in bulk.
You seem to be saying differently.
Well, that's all Gemara is saying like that, but there are mafarshim who explain based on the Yerushalmi that the machlokas may not be so much the difference between a palter and a nachtoim, but just the practicalities. How does a nachtoim do business versus how does a palter do business? So therefore, the point is, Abaya is saying, so the whole question that Ravina had has no basis. Right. Well, because we're not saying Rav Meir is Mekel. We're saying that when there's no reason to be concerned that they're from different people, then he has no reason to be Machmer. Yeah.
And really the difference between Nachtam and Palter.
And Palter is a Nachtam. Yes.
It's a number of
people. It's a number of people he buys from, exactly. Rava Omar, Rava answers, okay, so Abaya, you're telling me then that the whole basis of our sugya over here, Rav Elazar had a good question, but Shmuel did not give a good answer. Rava says no. Shmuel Shabbat Kamashana. Actually, Shmuel's answer was a good answer. Shen Misa Ba'olam, because Shmuel, it's true, they could conceivably draw a distinction between Misa B'de Shemayim, namely in the case of eating Trumas Meiser, versus Misa based in the case of an Eishes Ish. Nevertheless, Shmuel figures Misa is Misa. Dead is dead. And therefore, if you see that a mayor is Machmir in the case of Get, there is a valid reason to argue to Rav Elazar that yes, he would be Machmir about Trumas Meiser as well.
Because he would say it doesn't matter.
Either way, as long as it's something that could involve the person being dead, then the Chachamim where it's a din d'oraisa, then the Chachamim are going to be machmer in the parallel case to Rabbah. Fine, they would both say that Rav Sheshes' question from Pidyon Maaser Sheni isn't really a good one because that doesn't involve any kind of miss at all. Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim she'en lehem einah. The following things do the sales of the following things do not involve a no. No matter how much you charge for them, basically, it's not considered that you've overcharged and that there'll be all the dinim that we learned earlier in the perek about bitul mekach or getting it refunded, etc. Havadim vashtores vakakos shtores, yeah, shtarchov. If you sell a shtarchov to somebody else, then no matter how much you sell it for, yeah.
Because the chayv is defined.
We'll see why in the Gemara. We'll see why. The hekdeshes, and also things of hekdesh. So gizbar, Rashi says, for example, a gizbar who sells hekdesh, or let's say, for example, a person designated an animal as a korban, then it developed a mum, now he has to sell it. No matter how much he sells it for, there won't be a na.
Eved, though, has a special value.
We shall see in the Gemara. That's exactly the cost of weight. Also, besides the fact that a nod does not apply to these things, furthermore, there's other dinim that also don't apply to these things. Einlan tashlumei kefil, with all of these things, avodim shtores, kakaros, and hekdeshes, if a person steals them, he does not have to be kefil.
Those that don't have a nod don't have tashlumei kefil.
Those that do not have a nod, those four things that are listed in the Mishnah, where a nod does not apply, tashlumei kefil doesn't apply either. Yeah. V'lo tashlumei avav hamisha, nor... If it was an animal of hekdesh, for example, would you have to pay it above a chamisha if you shecht it and stole it? Also, shemachinam enim nishba v'nezesacha enim mishalim. Also, let's say there was a shemachinam guarding one of these things. He would not and afterwards, it was lost or stolen or what have you. He will not have to swear. He will not have to swear on any of these things and if he was a Shema Sachar, he will not have to pay if they were stolen. Rashi, by the way, says over here, Ein Nishba means you don't make him swear that he was not Peshe. There is actually a machlokas rishonim. What if he was pesheya dichayv or not? When the Mishnah says shoyim chinam ain't a nishba v'nosu tzachar ain't a shalom, does that mean even if he is pesheya, he's potter? Or does it mean that's how Tosfos learns? Whereas the Rambam says no, if he was pesheya, no question he has to pay. Then he's like a mazik. Okay. Well, that's in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions, I think. But, yeah. Okay. Reb Shimon says there's a distinction within kodshim. Kodshim shu chaya bachriyim, but it depends. Kodshim, where you're going to be responsible to make up the law.
We didn't speak about kodshim.
We did. We said hekdeshus meant we wanted hekdesh.
In this Mishnah.
Our Mishnah mentioned hekdesh. Rashi said hekdesh. There's two kinds. One where a gizbar is selling off something that was donated to hekdesh. And number two was where a person had an ola, or an animal that was supposed to be an ola, and now he's selling it because it developed a mole. So Reb Shimon says that there is a distinction. We know that in general there's a distinction between it's called neder and nedava. Neder is when you say I promise to bring an ola, hare olai ola. So then, afterwards, you go and designate a particular animal to bring that to bring as a carbon. What happens if that animal dies or gets stolen or develops a mum or what have you? You're still on the hook. You're going to have to bring a different animal because the chiyuv was on you. Hare olai ola. It's a chiyuv gavra. As opposed to if like a chila you said hare ze ola, this animal is going to be an ola, and this particular one, and then it died or what have you, then you're potter because the chiyuv was on the animal. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, Kodshim Shochai Bachriyus, and if it's Kodshim where you're responsible to make up the laws, namely where it was a neder, Hare Olai Ola, Yesh Lahin Ana, then if you sell those, there is Ana. Because you still have a certain ownership over it, because the fact that you're Chai Bachriyus means you still have a certain degree of ownership over it. You said Hare Olai. We had a similar topic at the beginning of Bava Kama about the dinim of Nizikin. Yeah. However, if you're not chai b'achriyusim, he said harei zuzu, where it's a nedava, then yes, then he says I agree with the Tanakama that ain't lahana no. Rabbi Hodaimer, af hamoicha sefer Torah behemo magolus, also somebody who sells a sefer Torah or an animal or diamond, pearl, whatever, ain lahana no, those things also a no doesn't apply to, for reasons which the Gemara will discuss right before the next Mishnah on Nemchet on the day. We'll see there. Wait. Halsach. We'll get to it tomorrow or the next day. Rav Hashem. Amru loy. The Chachamim answered. Rabbi Yehuda. No. Loy Amru Ela Eselu. No. You only have a list of four things that it was at the beginning of the Mishnah. Avodim, Shtaris, Kakaris, and Ekdeshes. Nothing else can be added to the list.
And therefore,
So why Rabbi Yehuda says if those three are an exception, we'll see later on. We'll see on Nun Ches on the day. Where do we get this that we're saying that Oina does not apply to the first four things listed in the Mishnah? Avadim, Shtoris, Karkaris, and Ekdesh. The Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'chisimkiru mimkar lamisecha. The Pasuk says, if you sell something, if you sell a sale to your fellow Jew, Oikone miyada misecha, or you buy something from the hand of your fellow Jew, implying Dovra nikna miyad liyad, implying the Pasuk is only talking about something which is actually bought and transferred from hand to hand. That is where the pasuk continues. Al tonu ishes amiso, that you're not allowed to defraud. One is not allowed to defraud the other with price. So therefore, what we're saying is it only applies something miyad liyad, only something that goes from hand to hand. Therefore, yotzu kakoris shein metalflin. Therefore, kakoris are excluded because they're not something that's transferred from hand to hand. They're not
literally.
Yeah.
Not through a star or something.
Well, So from the pasuk itself, we would only know karka. But wait, yotzu avodim shehuk shel kakoris. We also exclude avodim because of the famous hekesh between them and karka. The pasuk says by avodim knanim v'isnachaltem oisem that you bequeath them to your children, loresha sachuza to inherit them as landed property. So therefore, we see that an eved is like land in many areas of halacha. Yotzu shtaris, and also we can exclude shtaris for a different reason. Because the pasuk starts off by saying, if you sell a sale, implying shugufoi machor v'gufoi konori, meaning where you're selling something where the actual object itself is sold and the actual object itself is bought. Yotzu shtaris, shein gufon machor v'en gufon konori, as opposed to shtaris, you're not really selling the actual paper of the shtar itself, you're selling the content, yeah. They know you're only using them for the raya in them, so they don't have intrinsic value. In other words, therefore, the pasuk is saying that Oinah does not apply.
Well, they do have intrinsic value.
Well, they have a certain intrinsic value,
the shtar itself.
Yeah, the Gemara is going to talk on it in a second. But
it's not miyad liyad in the shtar.
The physical shtar itself is miyad liyad, sure.
Yes.
But the thing is, when you're selling a shtar, you're not really selling it for the value of the paper that's worth only a few cents. You're selling it for the value of the debt that's written in it.
Right.
That's an intangible thing.
Right.
So it's not b'chisim kurum mimko. You're not selling something which has an intrinsic value. So that's where we get the exclusion of those three things. Hekdesh we'll get back to in a minute, but mikan amru, based on this though, the Chachamim said, suppose somebody takes his shtar, let's say it was a shtar that was already paid off, and he sells it to a perfumer, where the perfumer is going to use them to wrap bottles of perfume with. Yes, lahem I know. Then in that case, I know it does apply to that, because then you're selling the actual group,
of
the shtar.
No.
Yeah. Okay, the question is
fish and chips on a newspaper.
Yeah. Question is pshita.
Shtar.
Yeah, whatever. A newspaper. Newspapers nowadays are worth less than shtar. That's okay. Come on. The question is pshita.
Chips on a megillah.
The point is pshita. Isn't it obvious that, yes, if we're saying there's a difference between selling a shtar for the amount that's written in it versus selling a shtar for the value of the paper,
right.
of course there'd be a nar in the latter case. The answer is la pukim de Rav Kahana. Yes, but the Braisa wants to tell us, not like what Rav Kahana says, dama eino nar l'prutus. We learned yesterday that Rav Kahana had deduced from the Mishnah, from an earlier Mishnah, which mentioned chomish prutusain, and didn't mention eino. Rav Kahana had deduced from that eino nar l'prutus, that if he sells something where the eino is going to be worth less than a pruta, where the 1/6 is going to be less than a pruta, then the din of eino is not chal. It has to be that the thing is worth at least an iser. Here a shtar is worth less than an iser. It's worth maybe only a pruta, and we see that eino still applies. So therefore, we see not like, and that's what I mentioned yesterday. That the Rosh Paskin like Levi over there, who says yes, I know all the prutas. And that is based on our Gemara over here, where we see that the Gemara is bringing up this Braita, that the Braita is specifically telling us not like Rav Kahana.
So the Rosh says
that. And in fact, I mentioned yesterday, both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe actually paskins according to that opinion, that yes, I know the prutas, that if you sell something, even if I know is only a pruta or less, nevertheless, I know still applies. The usual rules apply. Kamashmon, yes, I know the prutas. That is the chiddush of this price. So far we've taken care of karka, avodim, and shtoris. Karka and avodim because it's not yad v'yad, and shtoris because it's not mimkor.
Wasn't there a discussion about the Kama whether we use the hakish or not with avodim and karka?
Tosfos had said over there that we use it for things that are bonon, but not for things that are raisa.
Between
avodim and karka, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's
okay.
A bit major right now.
Well, I know itself is there, so yeah, but all right. Hekdeshus, where do we see that hekdesh is excluded from the dinim of Aina? Amakra, because the pasuk says achiv. The pasuk says that altonu ishes achiv, don't defraud one person his brother, meaning achiv lo hekdesh, not hekdesh, which is not your brother. Your brother means a fellow Jew. Either case, we said, no, not you're selling, well, it could be either way. We said, Rashi said there's two possibilities. A gizbar selling off something of hekdesh to somebody else, or you taking your animal, which you had designated as a korban, and now it developed a mum and selling it to somebody else.
So to give a gizbar to...
A gizbar to a third party, or you, who has a korban, to a third, yeah. Yeah, fine, but on the other hand, the dinim of anah don't apply to it. Okay. No. Rabba bar Memel. Okay. Rabba bar Memel asks, you're telling me that miyad means something specifically that goes hand to hand. Why? Are you telling me every place where the Torah uses the word yad means something literally that can be in your hand? What about the pasuk says the pasuk describes over there how Sichon and conquered parts of Moab, and then the Jewish people were able to conquer it from him, and it says he took all his land from his hand. What do you mean? The king of Moab held the whole land in his hand? Of course not. Elo mirushusay. Obviously, miyadai means mirushusay from his possession. Hachanami mirushusay. The same thing over here. Maybe it only means you're buying something from Hezer Rishus, so it could include Karka. Okay, the Gemara asks back, Holech Dechtiv Yodeh Lav Yodeh Mamashu. Fakert, what are you, Rabbi Mamemo, you're asking me that wherever the Torah says Yodeh does not literally mean Yodeh?
The fact that you say nothing
doesn't prove that. V'hotanya, don't we learn in a Braisa that, on the contrary, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that if the stolen object is found in the Ganav's possession, then you have to pay kefil. Eli el yodoy, now, based on the word yodoy, you'd only know literally you found it in his hand. Gagel chatzer v'kapef v'minayin. How do we know the same din holds true if you find it in his, on his roof, or in his chatzer, or in his fenced-in area? Therefore, the pasuk says, "Imi matzit timatze." If found, it is found, meaning mekom makom. In any case, where it's found, then his rishus. Well, wait. So, taima de kasev rachmana, imi matzit timatze, implying why do we say that other kinds of rishus are included only because the pasuk says, "Imi matzit timatze." Halav hachi have amina kol hecha the kasev yada yada mamashu. Okay, if it weren't for that, we would have to assume that wherever it says yada.
Himatze
comes to include other things. But without that, if it didn't say himatze timatze, we would have to mean to think that yodeh means yodeh mamash. The two, and furthermore, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, in the case of Gittin, when the pasuk is v'nasan and the yodeh, the husband gives the get into his wife's hand, again, ein li'el yodeh, you would only know from the pasuk literally if you put it in her hand. Gaga chatzer v'katzer v'minayin, how do we know it also works if you put it on her roof, or her chatzer, or her kafif? How do we know? Time of living v'nasan, mekom makom. And again, the same logic. Time of the kasev rachmana v'nasan, only because the pasuk says v'nasan. Rashi says, because it could have said, v'yada yitnenu, that he shall place it in her hand, he shall place it. V'nasan implies wherever he places it, that's in her rishus, is good.
Instead of yitnenu
would literally mean he has to give it literally into her hand.
Yitnenu, right.
As opposed to v'nasan is generic, yeah. Again, without that, yodeh would have to mean yodeh mamish. Yeah. So what are you, Rabbi Bamemo, asking me from one pasuk that you got applied to me yodeh? Faket, based on these other two things, we see that faket, in general, when the Torah uses the word yad, literally it means yad, and you need a special ribui to teach us that it means other things as well. Fine. So he must have to matir or nothing. Back to over here when it says akone miyad amisecha. Then that should mean that because there's nothing in the Torah that implies that that can be something other than your yad, it literally has to be yad. Therefore, it can't be karka. So what is Rabbi Bamemo asking?
Nothing.
Ella. So no, you have to say like this. Kol yodo yode mamashu. No, you have to say like this. In general, yes. In general, yes. When the Torah says yodoy, it means literally yodoy, unless you have a special limud to the contrary, such as by get or such as by ganem. The shiny hosam, delekalame mahochi, alabir shose. The difference is, in the case of the pasuk by sichon and mayav, there's no choice. Of necessity, the word yodoy over there must mean, the word yodoy over there must mean in his rishos, because there's no other way to understand it. But other than that, we generally assume that the word yodoy means literally yad.
Yeah.
So therefore, Rabbi Bamemo does not have a basis to ask the question based on that story of Sichon and Mayav, because there you have no choice. It's true, the Torah wrote the word Yadai, but there's no choice but to understand that means Gershom.
Isn't that obvious why you brought this example?
We had to discuss it.
I understand we had to discuss it, but...
Okay, well, now we say that the fact is Yadai excludes character, unless we have no choice but to understand the word Yadai otherwise. Boy, Rav Zeira. Okay. Now Rav Zeira has a question. Fine. We're saying that Onor does not apply to Karka. What about Sirus Yeshlo Onor or Emay Onor? What about if you're hiring something, you're hiring yourself, you're hiring a worker, you're hiring an animal or what have you? Does Onor apply to that? If you're charging more for your services than the going rate, let's say.
Tell this to lawyers.
Yeah. We're saying over here schirus in general, so it could mean schirus of it could mean schirus of metalpolin as well. Yeah.
Meaning what?
Meaning rental. Leasing, renting, whatever. Yeah. On the one hand, Mimka Amar Rahmana Avalos Schirus. On the one hand, the Torah mentions Ana in connection with Mimka, a sale, implying maybe Davka only a sale, not a rental. Adumalosh, no, maybe there's no difference. Maybe rentals also are subject to Ana. Only I buy a mix of Mimka La'olam. Yeah, but fine, the pasuk says Mimka. It doesn't say a permanent Mimka forever. Mimker stomach sieve. The pasuk just says generically mimker. V'hainami b'yom mechiri. Yeah. In other words, it can be any kind of mechira. Now, a schirus is effectively a temporary mechira. When you, for example, hire yourself out to do work, it means you're selling yourself on a short-term basis. And the same thing with land, the same thing with animals, the same thing with anything else. So yeah, then in that case, it is a kind of sale. That's what we're saying. It's a kind of sale. It's a kind of sale in the sense that during the period of the rental, the other person owns this animal or person or what have you that has been rented. That has implications. It has implications in many other areas of halacha also. It has implications as far as Hilchos Shabbos, for example, as far as Hilchos Shabbos, the various dinim about renting out your business to a goy for Shabbos, for example.
Home, I cannot sell it during the period I'm renting it.
No, because you haven't bought it with that. You haven't bought it with that understanding that you're allowed. You haven't rented it with that.
So
fine.
It necessarily no, ownership.
Obviously, even when you sell something, you're still able to put conditions that you're only buying it to the extent of you're able to do certain things with it.
It's implied that you can only do these conditions.
Fine. I'm saying when you sell property, also you're able to sell it. We'll learn in Bava Basra. We'll have lots of talk about this. You're able to sell or bequeath or whatever property on condition that there are conditions involved. You can't for example, acharecha l'ploini, that you'll inherit it from me, but after you die it has to go to ploini, therefore you're not allowed to sell it. There's a lot of cases like that. So yes, even a sale can have conditions. A rental can also have
without these conditions, and therefore
no. So obviously it's implied conditions, but the point is because it's only schiras l'yoyme. It's only for a temporary. It's only mechira l'yoyme. It's a sale for a temporary period, and you're expected to return it at the end of that temporary period.
If you're employed by someone else and you come up with, you find something or you discover something, then it owns the person that is employing you.
Well, that we learned in the first paragraph. Right. It actually depends what
right.
you were hired for. Were you hired generically to do work?
Right.
Were you hired specifically
right.
to look for Matthias, et cetera, yeah.
That was in the first paragraph.
That was in the first paragraph above Matthias, yeah.
Right.
So the answer is yes. A nah does apply to rentals as well. Because it's considered a temporary sale. Okay.
That's very different from English law.
Okay. I don't know what English law would say. Okay. Well, we'll stop over here and continue tomorrow, Hashem.
That.